drive fries, capturing your files, I'm decrypting one by one. I've got this pad on me to tangle, baby, this is fun. You think you're safe, I know you're not, I'm watching what you do. Pull up your task manager, there's nothing new to you. Kill the process, antivirus systems, I'll be wrecking. Command line's all I need for now, cause I'm pure decking.
Ooh, that was pretty neat. How did I do that? Let me do that again. That's fun. Okay, that's enough of that. This is Pure Decking number 23 for Tuesday, yes. June the something.
21st.
You know, you'd think I'd know that given tomorrow. Anyways, that aside, I'm looking for my show notes and doing horrible stalling tactics. This Galaxy 15. Who do we have here? We've got the full crew. We got Heavy, Lore, Nox, BSV, and Mr. Suave. What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I'm pretty as always.
I didn't miss anybody, did I? I'm didn't have the Skype window in front of me, and I was doing two other things, and I'm watching this the netbook that's being the backup recorder right now because I'm worried Audacity might crash.
It has happened.
You got fun.
So. Anyways, just a couple of quick updates on Galaxy 15 itself. In case you didn't notice, the website's gotten a little bit more work. We've added a Twitter account at Galaxy 15 Radio. We added the shout box and a Twitter feed. In other words, anything we post on the blog is going to go to the Twitter account, and then the Twitter account shows up on the blog. So hopefully we'll get an infinite loop that will ultimately destroy the internet.
Awesome. And it's blue.
And it is blue.
Excellent. It causes doomsday, and it's blue. Where can I buy one?
The Infinite is blue. So, also, we're going to do some work. We're going to try to get the station a little bit more situated and actually start employing clock wheels, because I still don't really know what those are. But as I'm running a radio station, these are things I should learn. But we've got to get a little bit more on the ball here. So, I'm changing things up a little bit and actually adding some more structure to Pure Decking because, well, fuck it, it's my show and we can. So, first half of the show, for the most part, we'll be hitting current events because I don't want to call it news because that's generic. And then the second half, we'll get into topics. And, of course, the news might roll into that because we've got some good ones today, some real winners. Bitcoin. So, Mt. Gox got hacked.
Yay.
Yeah, it's funny.
Well, I mean, Bitcoin went down to like a penny because the moment, you know, the largest brokerage of Bitcoins started getting hacked, I mean, everyone was dumping the damn things, trying to get their money out of it. But yeah. I'm just thinking their website is getting hacked, and so you're immediately trying to sell Bitcoins and turn them back into cash. Yeah. So you're giving the hackers access to your cash.
Exactly. No, my favorite comment out of it was maybe you shouldn't have put the security in the hands of a 19-year-old who'd gone to an anime convention.
Just a thought.
Makes sense.
Who else?
There's a reason banks employ old people.
Why? Because they were asleep? I don't get it.
Anyways, but just to add insult to injury, a lot of people have started looking at how to exploit Bitcoin, mainly because there's actually money in it now. Mm-hmm. And with Mt. Gox getting hacked, they just shut down their site. And at first they blamed it on a single compromised account. Then later they said, oh, they got Trojans on their servers. But we should point out the attack was against Mt. Gox, not Bitcoin itself.
Right.
As far as we know, the Bitcoin system itself has not been broken. However, people are starting to look at all the ways to take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah.
So
yes,
and
except for they have a new claim request form up, and that's not going to be vulnerable to anything.
Well, my understanding was Mt. Gox is like rolling back a day's worth of transactions. Mm-hmm. I didn't think you could do that with Bitcoin. So is it actually new transactions to put things back where they were, or is he?
Well, that's the vulnerability in Bitcoin. Is if you have you've got that file that's got your hash on it, right?
Yeah.
So if they can go in and basically just get your hash, then they can transfer the Bitcoins around.
Well, speaking
of... Well, from what my understanding is, basically all of the Bitcoin files are actually stored on the Mt. Gox site where people are trading. And then you can actually cash those out or have those sent to you.
Oh, so he didn't actually have it. He didn't have his data properly siloed then.
Right.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah, he probably had his PHP files directly manipulating the Bitcoin files. I'm just going to go straight into web developer land here. so, you know, if you've got your PHP directly manipulating the files on the file system and somebody finds a hole in your PHP or worse, SQL injection, what do you think is going to happen? This is why you write middleware where the PHP talks to the middleware and then the middleware handles the file system, because then you can put in multiple layers of checking.
Mm-hmm. And right. For the customer side of things, keep those Bitcoins yourself.
Yeah.
That is definitely a good idea. But just to rub some extra salt in the wound here, Metasploit came out, version 3.7.2, I think yesterday or today, that version rolled out, and they've added some new post-exploitation modules, one specifically for jacking your Bitcoins.
Ooh. Excellent. Can't wait to get that and get me some Bitcoins, finally.
And that's the thing you got to think about, though, with Bitcoin, because at that point, you're keeping money as a file in your computer. So what happens when your computer gets a virus or some jackass hooks up a Nintendo controller and runs Meterpreter?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you ought to put it in your wallet. Get a USB, take the file with you everywhere. Oh, wait. I don't know if that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's... Now, if you had one of those iron keys, or if you took TrueCrypt to the thumb drive first, that might be an option.
But then there you go.
You take your micro SD and some fingernail paint and...
And that's the problem with, is, you know, these guys are first... there's no excuse for these guys not to have this stuff encrypted, and for the people that are selling their Bitcoin, because, frankly, these are all first adopters. They're all, you know, geeks. They should know this shit, but, again, lazy.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like all the stuff going on with LulzSec, and, you know, you all can look down the show notes and see how much fun stuff I have to talk about with them. But, you know, they're not doing anything that's, like, hardcore, high-end. You know, we popped 3-0 days and broke into systems nobody could ever break into before. They're going after what in the industry we call the low-hanging fruit. They're hitting SQL injection, code injection, cross-site scripting, cross-site request forgery, getting in through Trojans, and then DDoS. I mean, that's all the low-level basic stuff. 9 times out of 10, when people are doing that kind of stuff, we call them script kiddies.
Yes. But, and I blame Steve Gibson for all these people on there that don't really know what they're doing.
Well, that might have something to do with it, and we all know my opinion of. I've said it before. Gibson is a good engineer. He's not a security professional. He thinks he is, but he doesn't actually work in the security field. He runs his own programming business, and the man is a good software engineer. I do not dispute that. I just wish he would stop advising people that, you know, you can't run JavaScript ever or your computer will explode. I mean, that's...
And here's the thing, too. Like, on every podcast that the Twit Network has, and then they bring up Bitcoin, they refer everyone back to that episode that he did with Bitcoin, where he's like, basically, it's unbreakable!
Well, and to give him credit, you know, and I've looked a little bit at Bitcoin, too, and I've not sat there and gone through the code, because I don't have the time, but, you know, just messing around with it, Bitcoin is doing a good job of the system itself. The problem is everything they're building around the system, and that's, you know, and now you've got the Senate pissed off and they're trying to shut it down, although I think we talked about that in one of the previous shows. I
believe so.
So
yeah,
I am your one listener, so,
you know, you're one of the two. Actually, we have two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the other one's British and probably drunk at the moment, so
could be
like the rest of us except British.
I don't know. Suave's kind of Canadian. That might count. Does that count?
Close.
That counts.
Okay.
He's coming well.
I don't know. I just, the more I think about it, the more that I understand it's eventually going to be a fixed currency, but the whole rolling it out over time thing, it's just, I don't know.
Well, it's like every time we talk about it, I seriously am worried that Bitcoin is going to be a pump and dump. I think you're going to see it. It's going to get hyped up, hyped up, hyped up, and then dump. And we've seen the dump.
Well, what's what is it worth? Why is it worth anything? Because we say it's worth something, just like every other currency.
Why is the dollar worth
right?
something? You know,
it's because we say it is, right?
Exactly.
So as long as someone says it's worth something, it's going to be worth something.
People got really used to the days when you could take your dollar into the national bank and get an ounce of gold for $32.
Yeah.
And why is gold worth something?
Yeah.
Because it's shiny.
So very shiny.
And it can be used in technology, which I like.
It's still, you know, also very mineable and being mined quite a bit in South America. So it's not like it's, you know, a finite amount either. But,
well,
you know,
it is
all
finite.
Gets,
it's just
this,
hoarded
there's
by, like,
lots.
People. So
yeah.
It all gets back to the fact that it's very difficult for me to trade my chicken for your MP3 file. That's all. You know?
I don't know. I like chicken.
Heavy, why are you keeping a chicken in the room with you right now?
There is no chicken, sir.
Oh, right, right, gotcha. Inside jokes? No, we wouldn't do those on the air. let's see, but we kind of swerved into it here. Sega got hacked, but Lulzsec says it wasn't them.
Also, Sony got hacked again.
Yeah, it's like
just thought I'd throw
time.
That in there. Yeah.
Sorry, I may have hacked them once or twice.
Well, at this point. I mean, at this point, it's going to be like the hacker rite of passage, right? It's like, have you hacked Sony yet? No? Okay, you're still a script kiddie. I mean,
yeah. Noob.
Noob. So.
Yeah, Sega, you know, I don't know, that wasn't much. I mean, again, they went and they said, all right, reset your password, change your email.
Well,
blah, blah,
locked all the passwords out, but here's the thing. The way the article reads, they don't come out and state it, was Sega storing plain text passwords?
Oh, Jesus.
This gets back to what we were talking about, Bitcoin. Why are you doing that?
That's like the mistake of a first-year programmer, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like there's a website devoted to it, plaintextoffenders.net.org. I don't remember. Google plaintext offenders. You'll find it. But there's a whole website out there that catalogs it. And the easy way to tell if a site is you're storing your password in plaintext, if they have a ridiculously low... like you can only have 12 characters in your password. That means they're probably storing it in plain text. And they've got a character limit of 12 in the field. Another good one is if you go into their, you know, forgot your password, if they actually send you your password back as opposed to resetting it to gibberish, they're probably keeping it in clear text.
Well, the thing is, they're probably hiring the noobs out of school.
And people's personal sites that they've, for some reason, have passwords.
Well, and then you got things like password reuse, right? So if you dump out a site's, you know, user database through SQL injection, which is retardedly easy when they don't sanitize their input, which, I mean, that's what Lulzsec has been doing, right? They compromise a site through SQL injection, get you know, somebody's password that they're using, you know, for everything. And then all they got to do is hop in their email, and they're not even, at that point, you're not even really hacking. You're just, you know, assuming somebody else's digital identity.
And when the people finally realize their passwords have been hacked, they change it, and they change that one on the end to a two.
Yeah. Hang on.
Jerk!
It's worth doing by hand. Let me get this up. I haven't been setting up the soundboard because I don't have a controller, but it's worth doing by hand. And my stalling tactic is failing as I can't find the MP3 I want to play. That one's close enough.
Toasty.
There we go.
Yeah, that's of course, as we've seen, the failure of the secure password aggregation system also happened. So everybody be responsible for your own security, you know.
Yeah. Salt your passwords.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. But since we mentioned Lulzsec, since they claim it wasn't them that hacked Sony, but they probably, or not Sony, but Sega, but they probably hacked Sony. Lulzsec and Anonymous are forming this anti-sec movement. Now, I have a problem with that, and it's not what they're doing, because they're claiming they're going after government, CIA, that kind of stuff, right? The problem is anti-sec has been used before. About 2-3 years ago, there was a group out calling themselves the anti-sec, so, you know, and they were specifically targeting security professionals. know, okay. Some of the big names, H.D. Moore and Schneier and a couple of others. And they were trying to personally embarrass them and say, oh, see, you all aren't right either. And their whole philosophy was things like, you know, full disclosure, responsible disclosure, publishing of open source tools just shouldn't happen because, I don't know, if you're not elite enough to get the stuff on your own, then you shouldn't have it, I guess was their philosophy.
Right.
And, you know, you want to have some fun, Google full disclosure and net dev, and there's some great reading. But that's, you know, that was going on a couple of years back, and they were calling themselves anti-sec because they were trying to slow down the release of open source tools, stuff like Metasploit, because they don't think, you know, they think it's script kiddie tool, and they'd rather not see that kind of stuff out. You also could make the argument that they thought they should be the only ones able to hack into stuff, and they didn't like everybody having access to the tools.
Yeah, well, that's you know, the nerd rage thing. It's like, oh, I spent all this time doing all this stuff, and now you can do it just with a click of a button. Well, yeah, that happens. That's all part of the process. Go find some new way of doing it and keep, you know, on the cutting edge, and then you're going to be elite instead of sitting on your ass and saying, oh, why did I end up this hack 5 years ago? That's nice, old man. Get out there and do something new.
I had to pick this field of cotton with my bare hands. What are you doing with that harvesting machine?
Kind of, sort of. Everybody does.
Yeah, except the original anti-sec group was more like a group of script kiddies that were just upset that everybody else could pull down the tools, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the whole, you know, old fogey hacker argument holds water, because if you talk to any of the guys who've been around, they're perfectly willing to tell you how to do stuff. They love it. They love talking about that stuff. And
the really good ones are out there still doing new stuff, too. That's the thing.
And it's not just new stuff, but it's finding interesting ways to apply old stuff. For example, SQL injection, which everyone thinks is a new problem, has been around for a very, very long time. Back when FTP servers were routinely using databases to hold user databases and old school web servers and stuff like that, you know, they would tie them into databases, and you could do the same trick. It's just you'd be doing it on a FTP login box or a service login box as opposed to in a web form. You know, code injection has been around for ages. It's not really anything new. A lot of the old, you know, a lot of the exploits, you know, they're mostly just buffer overflows. They're not really anything new. It's just figuring out what numbers to put in them.
Exactly.
You know, where's the overflow? What memory address are you going to jump out of? And, you know, if you ever stop and look at writing exploits, it's hard. It is a pain in the ass to develop new exploits. So, you know, when you've got these script kiddies going after the guys who actually do that work, that's pretty dumb. But, you know, and then you come back to the LulzSec and anonymous operation. I guess they call it Operation Anti-Sec. But the thing on that one reads, I think they're targeting more like government, CIA, FBI, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's very like, what are they doing? Looking for stuff for WikiLeaks or something? I mean, I didn't have a chance to really read the whole article.
I think they're just being anti-governmental. Yeah. Like anything that blocks the internet from being free, they kind of go after it. So just any government, really.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not really sure how I feel about that. On one hand, I certainly appreciate what they're doing. I mean, they took out CIA. they actually took the CIA offline for several hours.
I do not support this message. Your studio says nothing to do with taking down CIA. I'm not okay with that.
I think it's funny because it points out, I mean, they're stirring the hornet's nest, right? It points out where the problems are, and like I said, does a great job of telling people why they should hire me. But it's like, hi, I'm a security professional. I can help you with these problems. It's going to be expensive and require a lot of work, but we can help you.
If you get a government contract, it'll be very lucrative.
Oh, that's the truth, isn't it?
Nobody wants to spend the money.
Well, you know,
either that or they don't want to give up the open freedom of being able to do whatever the hell they want whenever they want. You know,
it's not even that. Most of the time what I find when you're talking with people, especially trying to like go back in and lock down stuff, they don't know what they're running. you know, they hired some one-off developer to write their website for them, and that person was, you know, it was an outsourcing thing, so they're long gone. They don't have anybody there who actually knows how to program the thing. They just maintain it, and there's all these problems with it, and they don't know what to do because the guy who wrote it is, you know, he's not anywhere around. The banks are actually having this problem in that the people who wrote their original banking software and the menus and how to work all the older mainframe systems banks use, you know, things that are like written in COBOL and Fortran. Those guys all retired like a little while back. So now that these systems need maintenance, nobody knows how to do it because nobody knows the old languages. Nobody knows how to mess with the old AS400s. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's just.
Dude.
Yeah.
When I was in college, we had an old tape drive AS400. Those things are fucking awesome.
Those things are fucking heavy. You ever try to move one of them?
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
Of course, there's every video game studio that buys an indie game, and they fire all the programmers.
Oh, hell, that's not just indie studios that do that. When
I'm not saying I lost the words I was trying to use, so grasp the others.
When Activision bought Blizzard, like right after World of Warcraft was finished, they fired most of the programmers that worked on World of Warcraft. Why do you think the next few bugs started breaking shit?
Yeah,
it's because the people that were in there didn't know the code base they were messing with. So, and it goes back to that. So you've got all these operations out there where the people who are running it don't really know what they have. They don't understand the concept. I was talking with a web programmer the other day, and you know, this person had no idea about the concept of SQL injection. It just had never entered into his. It's you know, he writes web pages for a living, right? Web apps for a living, and mostly they're small, kind of scattered here and there and all over the place, and just hook into things like Oracle databases. And when I tried to show him the concept of SQL injection, his first question was, "Well, why would anybody do that? It's like, why would you put code in there? That code doesn't go in there." And this is why, like when you mentioned Steve Gibson, I say, "Oh, he's a good software engineer, but he's not a security guy," because you can hear it on his podcast when somebody starts asking questions, you know, because he takes his question, it shows, right? When somebody asks him a question about this technology or that technology, he'll say, "Oh, well, it's not designed to defeat that." And that's that engineering side of him coming out of, well, that's not the problem you're trying to solve. It's like, okay, but it's still a problem. So, and you know, engineers don't think that way. They think, how do I make it work? Versus,
exactly. You need a few good backyard mechanics to come in there and fuck with your stuff once in a while just to see what you can do with it and what the vulnerabilities are.
Well, you know? The problem is that's expensive. But, yeah. And, you know, if, and a lot of times these little web apps, especially the little one-off ones, they get deployed to a small group of people. There's no testing server. It's all live. So they suddenly get very hard to test because, especially with SQL injection, a lot of the more modern web apps, you're going to be throwing things like SQL Map and the Burp Suite at it looking for this stuff. And if you screw up with SQL injection, you're throwing raw SQL commands inside of code at a database, and if it's your production database and you say accidentally unlink every table, oops.
Yeah,
and that's because different databases interpret commands different ways. So if you don't know that what you're messing with on the back end is Oracle and you think it's MySQL, think about the kind of damage you can wreak on a production database. This is why things like this, and this is why, you know, a lot of security people are kind of sitting back and laughing at the things Anonymous and Lulzsec are doing, because it's like, yeah, well, you know, it's happened. Now you got a group of people out there who are aware of how to do this kind of stuff. They don't care if they wreck your shit, unlike the people you hire to do this stuff, and they're just going to go around breaking things and laughing. And, you know, in the short term, it's going to be horrible, but in the long term, maybe we'll see better security in the long run. I mean, just out of everything, because, well, I can go to my boss and say, these same attacks that Lulzsec is doing, yeah, I think we've got them over here and we need to test for that.
Yeah, that would be nice to start getting rid of some of, and I know it's hard, or expensive, mostly, when it comes down to being time consuming, but
they make
it would
a great boogeyman when you're trying to scare your boss, I tell you.
But it would be nice to modernize the software. I mean, you know, get things up to, you know, speed as it were. And I don't know really where or how it would be a good place to set a standard for this stuff. But we do need some good security standards for people when they do.
Well, we have them. That's the thing, Heavy. We have security standards. There's the Pentest standard out there. There's all kinds of security standards out there. There's plenty of ISO ones. The problem is that when you say, oh, we have to hit a standard, management goes, oh, I have to reach a checkbox, and they do the checkbox. And once they have the checkbox, they're done. Or, you know, it's like, well, I need security. I'll go buy a firewall. I've got the magic firewall. Now I have security. No, no, you don't. You have another system that needs to be administered and managed.
Yeah.
But anyways, though, we've kind of, I think we've lost everybody else on this topic. So, yeah, exactly. So we're going to go ahead and go into break. And the track I got for you now is off of the Brain Slugs album, Brain Slugs Invade. Just, I love the name. So let's, it's a fun track. It's a little on the long side, but it's not terrible. We've played longer. So let me just get the Skype call muted here, and I'll mute myself and hit play.
We'll be right back.
Okay, and we've got the call back, and that was the Brain Slugs Invade. It's from the Bypass Net label, the Brain Slug Paradox. I got that off clearbits.net. Legal Torrents, whatever the site is. They've changed their name, that's why I'm confused.
Excellent site, though.
Yeah, it is. Very good site. That's where I'm getting most of the music for the station right now. So, but I don't know. I was really enjoying that track. I don't know about you guys. So,
yeah, no, that was an excellent track.
So we'll pick another one of theirs to close out with. And while I'm doing that, we'll pick a topic Heavy can go absolutely nuts with. A little off topic, especially for a tech show, but I've been getting back into tabletop gaming, specifically Vampire, and a few other games, but I've discovered I need some time away from the monitors every now and again. So, as a diversion, I've gotten back into tabletop gaming. Used to be real heavy back into that in high school and stuff like that, but you know, what do you guys play? D&D? Do I sound gurgly?
No, you're fine.
That's just me then.
Gurgly. How do you mean gurgly?
Well, your voice is... It's not cutting in and out. It's just kind of weird sounding, like you would get like in a dial-up kind of sound. Sorry.
Oh, maybe the call went to shit. You all sound good on my end.
Yeah, I'm not getting any problems.
Feeling good here.
Maybe it's just me. How do I sound? Do I sound good?
Yeah, you're fine.
All right. Well, I don't know.
Says the deaf guy, but that's just me.
What?
Exactly. Yeah. No, to get back to the subject, I will go nuts, and I will probably, you know, more than I'll go back and forth on this. So if any of you other guys want to talk about it, you know, get in your comments or have a good experience with tabletop gaming.
Well, personally, that's something I've always really wanted to get into, but right when I was starting to get into it, I ended up moving somewhere where there's just nobody who's even remotely interested in it. Not much here. I managed to get in some good Magic the Gathering gaming in, and I highly recommend that one. It's just easy to pick up and get into. It's not really all that in-depth or anything. It's literally more of just a card game.
It used to be a really fun in-depth game, but here lately, especially the last few times I've been to a game shop where they were playing it, it was like, mostly played by douchebags.
Hey, bringing that up, Slothin still plays.
As I said. That one wasn't a low ball.
Tabletop gaming, I've done some Magic the Gathering, some Pokemon, but only because nobody was playing Magic the Gathering at times, so it was very...
Sure. Excuses. Just admit it, you love Pokemon.
No, Pokemon's awesome.
No. I hate them even more now.
Well, I'll see. I'll play Munchkin, but in the group that I was running with, they were playing D&D and all that jazz, riffs mostly.
Yeah.
I had to go to work every time they'd start a game.
So you never actually got to play. Yeah, now Munchkin, there's a card game.
That gets big.
And yes, it does.
I was playing D&D because I really loved that squad-level miniatures combat there. So I really hated it when they went to 4th edition there.
Oh, we never used the miniatures when we played D&D. We would occasionally make the dice-a-gram, but we never broke out the miniatures.
I just used tokens myself, but I really loved the maneuvering through that.
That's cool. Bothered
making a nice miniature for your character.
Well, now when you want to talk about miniatures and making nice ones, Suave has the equipment. He's got that 3D printer. You want to talk about something for making your own miniatures, that's the way to do it. Because you will spend $2,000 making a set of Warhammer miniatures, but if you spend $1,000 on the printer, you can make your own and make them custom.
Oh, did you print out a real doll? I think you printed out a real doll recently, right?
Did you print out a real doll?
Well,
that'd be awesome.
Sort of. It's kind of pokey because I had to use PVC plastic. I'm working on the printer to work with silicone, but it's not quite there yet.
Got a Madonna.
Fuck.
Yeah. Toasty.
Getting back to Laura, I understand the whole timing thing. That's why we play Sunday night with my group, and it's every other Sunday, and we usually schedule it on purpose to avoid all of the important holidays, and we play for about 5 or 6 hours.
You're
good. Most of the folks are either married with kids or, you know, that kind of stuff, or jobs. So
married with children, we need that theme song. Heavy, what do you all play?
We play Dungeons & Dragons 3.5 to Pathfinder, which is the way to go if you like the old-style D&D. Yeah. If you don't want 4.0, then you stick to it. It's really more of a storytelling game instead of basically a straight war game, which is what they did. They basically made 4.0 for the MMO players. So they go in, you spam your powers, and that's all you do. You know, storytelling is important. We've actually got a world map. And the storyteller is of the type where he won't give you the same answer twice. You know, if your characters are in a different part of the world, it's like, oh, yeah, that's over here. Okay, thanks, guys. Yeah, you go to the next
guy. Does anybody else have the huge urge to just go, nerd?
Yep. Nerds!
I'm sorry, yeah. Continue, Heavy. I just had to
don't think
out.
We can throw stones in this house.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But
stones? I'm throwing bricks. What are you talking about?
But it gets down to being a really good storyteller and having somebody that's willing to breathe life into the characters that you're interacting with. You know, you don't want the cookie cutter. Well, you go to a bar and you have the bartender. You flesh it out. And that's what makes the game really breathe. You know, characters, nations. You know, some nations are anti-magic, and you'll be, you know, just killed if we're doing that. You know, very religious. Some of them are anti-religion, or the druids versus the clerics or whatever. Those kind of things add to the game. And over time, you can start out with a module, or you can just start out with a simple story and the characters, and then build up from there.
Well, I tell you, the reason I bring the subject up beyond just, you know, you've got to get away from the computer sometimes. You just got to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the studio setup I've got going here, but it's like, you know, eventually you're like, wow, I'm spending my entire life in front of three screens and these two keyboards.
Well, as for me, I got into computers because I was learning how to program my tabletop games into them so that I could have the board and
track your army
and
stuff, yeah,
covered. And I've stuck with that part of it as what I really like to do in computers. I'm even putting together a D&D group in Second Life here.
Nice. What were you going to say, BSV?
It's not just a pen and paper or everything. It's people. Everybody's avatars are sitting around the table, and then there's miniatures on the table.
Nice. I might talk to you later. I'm thinking about getting back into Second Life just to advertise the station. What were you trying to say, BSV?
I was just going to go over what I've been playing, because I always kind of had, like, Swab, when I was pretty much first starting to get into it, then moved away, and up until about a couple years ago, didn't really play anything. But yeah, now I've been playing Pathfinder, and also for tabletop, there is more than just the D&D pace stuff. There's the Fate system, which is a lot more character or story driven than that, and there's a lot more conventions than just the D20 style.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. See, I'm actually trying to start a vampire game, start a local game group, and one of the other reasons I wanted to bring this up on the show is I was handing out Galaxy 15 cards at the gaming store saying, yep, there's my email address, get a hold of me for the vampire game. It's on the back, yeah, you just flip that over. So, kind of dual purpose here, but stealth advertising. Yes.
Which is good.
Well, we all need to print up our own cards for Gen Con.
I've got a box. I'm good to go.
And anytime you go up to a stand and they hand out their cards, you give them your card.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, the stream can only support 50 listeners at a time at the moment, so...
Yeah, do you think we're really going to get more than 50?
I can dream.
I know.
Don't dash my hopes yet. Leave me my delusions,
sir,
please.
That's what the download's for. Come on. If you can't listen to it live, have a download.
Yeah, I've really got to get that... I cannot wait on getting that new sound card. I have ordered some new audio equipment. We swapped broadcast boxes, and I think I talked about that on the last show, that the other one was crashing. It actually crashed in the middle of a pure decking. That's why there's one missing in the stream. And so we switched to a different machine because I think the other one was having some hardware issues. But the sound card in this one is a piece of shit. So I've got a Behringer USB DAC coming in. Now, it's not as high-end as some things, but it's a 128-kilobyte radio stream. And when we put out podcasts there, it's 64K. I don't think you're not going to notice that I don't have a $200 digital DAC in there.
You put it out 64? I think I do 128.
Oh, well, excuse me, sir. I didn't realize your E-peen was bigger than mine.
That's right.
So
you got to make the music sound good at the end of the show.
That is true. That is a good point. I haven't had anybody complain about it, but then again, we haven't had a hell of a lot of listeners. So maybe, if we get people saying, hey, the music sounds like hell, maybe we will start. Of course, it's already going through my mixer setup, so...
Since I'm live, I can complain about it now.
Yes, you can.
The music sounds a little... Yeah.
Does it really?
A little bit, on occasion. I mean, it's mostly because it's through the stream you're recording it.
Well,
that's why when I'm editing, I always throw the music in afterwards. But it's easier for you this way.
It's very much easier for me this way. And we get to make lots of jokes about saying, fuck it, we'll do it live. Because I don't think Bill O'Reilly actually owns that as much as he probably wishes he did. So,
to get back to the role playing thing, I would say that there's a lot of good systems out there. Don't get stuck in the fantasy. If there's a series of books called The Dresden Files, read those and then go look at the role playing game.
Actually, we just started a campaign of that in my group.
That is cool.
Very good. Combat, actually.
You know what I'd like to get into is a Call of Cthulhu game.
Oh, that would be excellent.
Yeah. I think everybody would want to do that. Slothin would short down term. With that.
We're gonna play Call of Cthulhu. We're gonna play Blue's Clues, the Call of Cthulhu version.
Normally, your characters don't survive too well in those games.
Oh, but that's half the fun.
Just remember,
that's kind of the point.
Firearms, knives, none of that's going to help you. You want the Louisville Slugger for fighting demons.
You want a Molotov cocktail and a blowtorch. What are you talking... No, that's interrogation. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You want bad memory and fast legs. That's what you want.
And that's two for two, Knox.
Toasty.
Oh, Knox is winning on the soundboard tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not hunting up winning because I have to do that with the mouse until I build the new controller.
With the D&D stuff, I used to play Baldur's Gate and Planescape Torment and all the Icewind Dale games and stuff. Again, at the computer, though.
Yeah.
I don't blame you, though. Planescape was awesome.
I love Planescape. It's one of my favorite games ever.
No, I've got a question. Have any of you guys ever come across a piece of software intended to facilitate playing tabletop games over the internet with other people?
None of them
aside
very
from
good.
like generic things like Google Wave and all that other sort of crap, but anything actually dedicated to the purpose? Because
nothing
me,
that was
like
any good.
The best I've actually
Open
seen.
RPG?
Yeah, well, yeah, but the best I've actually seen for doing that kind of stuff is. The best I've seen is some custom scripts in Second Life, actually. Like
really?
Knox is doing with his D&D. That's honestly the best I've seen for doing that kind of stuff.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that we don't have anything
well,
more dedicated for that. Because
World
of
Warcraft
seems...
came out and everyone lost interest.
Everybody has promised to do that. I mean, WotC promised like three different times to do that. Wizards of the Coast, and they basically have failed every time. They just canceled the project, fired everybody on the team, and said, you guys, we're not spending any more money on it. So it's been tried, but nobody's willing to spend the cash, basically.
Well, it's unfortunate.
Getting back to lore, just to put a quick plug in for a local company in Michigan-based Southfield, Palladium Books, and I love their world and hate the mechanics. Now, we used to play it all the time, but it will literally, if you start a combat in that game system, it will take you 6 to 8 hours to finish one combat.
Oh, man.
It's painful.
To continue on tabletoping, though, not just harping on the role-playing games, what about Munchkin? Has everyone on this call played Munchkin?
I have.
Yes. No. Never even heard of it.
I've seen it played once, though.
You've never heard of it, Swamp?
And I've touched a card.
Munchkin's amazing. I Koba actually took all the Munchkin cards, so I have none anymore.
Ouch.
Damn it. I still have a complete deck.
Oh,
I had
so Call of
Cthulhu, I had Vampires, I had Cowboys, I had the original deck, I had everything. It was huge.
I've got the original deck with like four expansions. I've got Munchkin Thulu, Munchkin Ninjas, not Ninjas, what's it called?
Putting the word cowboy and vampire Space. Next to each other just reminds me of that terrible, terrible second Blood Rain movie.
Well, they're still all out there. You know, like my hobby shop, local. Go to your local hobby shop, folks. Don't buy all your shit.
Yeah, they actually reprinted a bunch of the Munchkin cards lately. I noticed this when I bought a new expansion, and the backs didn't match.
Yeah,
they even have Munchkin the Bird Game too.
Yeah,
yes, actually, there's a Munchkin online game now, I think, or it was supposed to come out.
What's the premise of the game?
Oh, okay, like, Munchkin is a card game which emulates a very fucked up version of D&D. Depending on your storyteller.
It parodies a lot of different genres of role-playing and fantasy and science fiction.
Well, it's making
movies.
Fun of role-playing games is what it's doing.
Yeah.
And the gameplay mainly involves around stabbing the other people in the back.
Oh yeah, okay. The first player to level 10, the first player to hit level 10 wins. Mm-hmm. There's several ways to go up, most of them involving killing monsters. And so early on in the game, everybody's kind of working together to get going. But once you start hitting level 7, 8, you start getting into shit like, I will let you win that fight if you give me all the treasure.
Yeah.
I want to fight the gazebo because you have to fight the gazebo alone.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. And yes. It's one of those games that it's kind of hard to describe it. But the first time you sit down and play it, you'll love it. I mean, we've had games come to the point of thumb breaking. So
yeah.
Awesome.
Now, just to throw that in there, since we're on the parody side of things, and this kind of goes with it, and it's something you could do in an evening of playing Munchkin. There are two movies, The Gamers and The Gamers Darkness Rising. Watch both of those because they're absolutely fucking hilarious lampoons of role playing. You know, things like stabbing somebody in the backstabbing somebody with a ballista. You know. Doesn't say I can't do it in the rules, you know, that kind of stuff.
I don't know how you would pull that off, but yeah, sure, why not? But
actually set the scene up in the movie, so you know it's worth seeing. Basically, the idea that it's the players in a ass-smelling basement playing D&D on a Friday night, and then it actually switches back and forth between the characters and the players, and it goes through the whole thing. It is really well done.
But yeah, back on Munchkin, I mean, it's funny. Like a lot of the level up cards are like dresses your character. You know, rewrite that dirty old character sheet. Go up a level. Convenient addition error. I mean, I love that game just because the cards are so funny.
Bribe the GM.
Bribe the GM with food. Yes.
GM isn't looking. Go up a level.
Yeah, actually, I think that one might be in there. Of course, there's also the cheat cards. So it is one of those games that can, you know, end friendships. So definitely worth playing.
Excellent.
But the problem is you get two people that get into a pissing match, and then they will actually end up letting somebody else win.
Yeah. A buddy of mine started working on his Munchkin deck because we've always used mine, but it's gotten to the point now it's difficult to shuffle. And so he bought the Dimensions or the Dungeons add-on, where you get these large dungeon cards that mess with the rules of the game. And one of them was if a curse hits one person, it hits every person. So of course, what is after he turns over that dungeon card, what's the next curse that comes
Everybody
up?
Everybody goes down a level.
No, sex change. It's like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're down. You're weak by 1 point for one level at that point too. So yeah.
Yeah, you lose 5 on your next combat, and then your gender is swapped as far as cards go, which is actually really funny. But the artwork on some of these cards is just fantastic.
Space Munchkin is the best. I love me some Space Munchkin.
I don't know. Munchkin Thulu is pretty good too.
That's everyone all right,
everyone ends up as a cultist.
Yes, but then you can get like mutant arms, so you can have like three arms or shit.
Yeah,
it's awesome. You can have three guns and the laser phaser, baban and fan, a faux phaser.
I always enjoyed getting the glowing neon kimono of my grandfather. Of Doom. So, Yeah. That's there's some great comedy that comes out of those games.
That's a pretty good. I mean, it's fun, and then there's that's.
Anybody played the Zombies board game?
Yeah, I played. Yeah. Well, which company's version of the Zombies board game?
Let me grab it and I'll tell you.
Last Night on Earth.
That is good.
Yes, I like that one.
It's in the other. There's room. Also an Alien Invasion version of that one.
This one's just called Zombies.
Okay, yeah. Just Zombies. Yeah, they sell expansion packs of miniatures for that one.
Yeah, they
glow
do.
In the dark ones.
I've got the clowns. Yeah. Zombie clowns.
Yeah, that one's all right. But like I said, which version? Because there's like 4 or 5 different companies that make zombie games. Yeah.
Oh, this one's fun though because the it's a board game, but you don't actually put it at a board. You play tiles every turn, so the board is actually different every time you play. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I believe there's even a version of that called Humans, where you play the reverse.
Nice.
They turn into sheep at that point?
No.
I think that was a different movie. So let's see. That's pretty much everything I had on the slate for the show tonight. Well, we got about 8 minutes left on the slot, so we could just wrap it up early. I've got a... go play that 11-minute track I was looking at earlier. No, I've got us a track to close out with, and it's about 5 minutes long, so if we can just pad 5 more minutes onto here. Suave, go.
Heavy, go.
Okay.
Anybody have any other games they play?
Yeah, actually... I do like to go ahead to the hobby shop, and we do what we call board game night. We play a bunch of different games. Some of the ones that are really good is called Tigris and Euphrates, and they're kind of more puzzle games, but competitive. And so that one's really nifty in that you're trying to build these 4 different elements. And basically, if you get 4 elements adjacent to each other, you can basically build a castle there. And then, but there's actually fighting, and then it's kind of a fun board game.
Here's one that's a little off topic: Settlers of Catan.
That is fun.
That is the first free hit or intro game that everybody can play. It's really awesome, and.
And you always have to go with the joke, I'll trade you sheep for wood.
Yeah, yeah.
What? New Zealand? What?
Yeah, that's the fun one. I absolutely
love that
game. You
don't get the joke, but you know it's funny.
We're all laughing because we don't want to be uncomfortable. We're not sure if we're supposed to laugh or not, so we just are, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah. I didn't laugh.
Oh. Yeah. Quick, somebody say something to make Lore laugh.
Yeah, right.
Penis.
Aha.
That was our best shot, so...
No, you gotta do something along the lines of, let's see, we're on a radio station.
Titicaca?
Oh. No. We're on a radio station here. It's not really late enough to pull this joke, but yes, we are the people who live inside of your computer, and we can see you. Stop masturbating.
Damn it. How'd you know?
Oh, darn it.
Actually, no. Lore, that's a good idea. Let's see here. Twitter accounts. We've got lots of them. Why not? We'll lampoon on Twit. Let's see. Galaxy 15 Radio, obviously. I listed that one out at the beginning of the show. Lore's got a handful.
I do. I have a... at IHN Show, I have at Lauren Law, and there is an Identica one, which is now Kier Studios at Identica.
Actually, speaking of stuff you do, Lore, how's you've got 2 shows going on right now.
I do. I have The Missing Dialogues, which is a fantastic look at all sorts of things, whatever I decide to talk about, usually some sort of political or slightly uncomfortable topic. And I talk about that. In Reality Bites, I now have a co-host with Slothin. We plan on doing that every Saturday, where we go through and look at all the awkward news, which I guess I'm stealing from IHN, except there's only 2 people on this panel.
That could work. I mean, why not? We can do enough news shows, and then I can steal your podcasts and put them on the air.
Exactly.
But, yes. Actually, I listened to, it wasn't the last Missing Dialogues, the one before that where you're talking about the Rapture.
Yes.
And it's like, somebody with a mild amount of charisma, some staying power, and a radio station. I'm not starting a cult.
Why not?
I know how that ends, and I don't want to see the SWAT team in here.
It's only a small SWAT team. You can handle it.
It's only a small one. Your followers all have machetes, right? It's like, no, they're all chicks, dude.
Chicks, dude.
All right. Swab, your Twitter handle?
Yeah, I don't really have Twitter.
Well, advertise for your show. I know you don't do it all that often, but you can advertise it. There's still plenty of content there.
I haven't done my show in like a year.
Dude, there's still content there. Advertise.
Yeah, right.
BSV, you got a show you can advertise.
Yeah.
Sometime when I feel like editing, look forward to old new episodes of Nameless 7.
I love the Nameless Review Show 7.
That was show. We were show 7 through like show 20. I mean, it was great.
Yeah. That was my fault. I'm very sorry. This is why I got out of the game. I'm not dealing with it. No.
Nox, you got anything to promote?
Oh, just my YouTube channel, Time Kit there.
Oh, that's right. We tried to promote that on the show that disappeared. So you do a lot of Let's Plays on there, right?
Yes, I'm even looking forward to doing an Oblivion one when I finally figure out this whole video editing thing.
You're a pain in the ass, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, especially when the video editor just doesn't have simple features, which I'd expect from any video editor ten years ago when I took the class on it.
What are you trying to use for your video editor, Nox?
Oh, like, I want to add some sound.
No. What program are you using to edit your videos?
Okay, I was using Windows Movie Maker because it was enough for just that.
Now I understand why you didn't want to tell us. No, that's fine.
Cheap stuff. Then I got the, what's that one that was?
Vegas, or?
He's probably talking about the Adobe one. Premiere? Because it's a pain in the ass to use.
Lightworks.
Oh, Lightworks. Yeah, okay. That's
not bad.
I never
played that one.
Actually, there's one on Linux, not Pivoty. What's the other
one? Even Lightworks is missing basic features.
I don't know. I found the Windows one to be actually pretty decent for certain things. I mean, it was just enough to get by.
Windows Live Movie Maker is a completely different program than Windows Movie Maker.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a piece of junk.
I've not touched Live.
Yeah, Live is strange and weird. Actually, Nox, you want to look at OpenShot. It's an open source one. I think they've done a Windows port, though. I could be wrong on that. But last I saw, it was up there.
What's it called? Money Shot?
Money Shot is what you do on porn videos. It's OpenShot.
Hold on. I'll finish up here real quick for us.
Oh. All right. Let's see. Heavy, you got anything to promote?
Yeah, just going to give out my Twitter handle, HAEVYMETALL, at Heavy Metal. And basically, I will start promoting anything that I do in the future from there. But right now, I'm just on IHN and peer decking most times. So.
I thought you were still looking at starting another news show. Did you put that
on hold? Yeah, I have that, and I have not made any progress because I'm a lazy bastard. So.
Fair enough. Okay. With that note, we've filled our time, so we're going to play another track off of Brain Slugs. It's The Devil Is in the Details, so let me just mute the Skype call so the next time Heavy falls out of his chair and causes a minor explosion, we don't hear it, at least on the stream and the recording. And the call is now muted. Haha! I can say whatever I want and you all can't respond! Yay! That's kind of cheap, actually. They have text chat. Crap. All right, time to play the song.